demanding a personal right. That means Jesus said, resist retaliation. That's going to read through. This is quite straightforward. Yeah, verse 38. I'm going to dwell a little bit on the next one. The one is a painful one. Okay. Verse 38. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. Whoever slapped you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and takes away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. It's an issue of deny your personal rights. Resist retaliation. You know, it's very natural for us to retaliate, fight back, say don't. You know why? If you don't fight back, who will be your vindicator? God. The moment you lift up your hand and fight back, God will no longer vindicate for you. That's why I always hold back. Don't say anything. Don't hit back. God say what? Vengeance is mine. That's what it is. No, don't hope for that. Like, say, yeah, I don't talk back so that God will hit you hard. And then you need to go back to the poor in the spirit. Okay. Next one. The last one. The last one. Verse 43 to 44. This is hard. To me, this is the most difficult. I call it resist passive love. You know why? Because on the surface, it doesn't mean that you read carefully. Basically, Jesus is telling you, don't be passive or inactive when someone mistreated you. Don't fight back. Don't say a bad thing about a person. Don't just keep quiet. That means, sometimes it's good, don't say a thing. But don't just forgive. Go further. Read carefully. Bless the person. Pray for the person. Do good for the person. No, forgiveness is good. He said, you're only halfway there if you forgive. Something more. That's why if you do all this, you will be like me. When I read this passage, you know, I mean, I kind of like understand a little bit more. I say, this person insulted me. I forgive. Not enough. God said, bless him. Okay, bless it up. Bless. More. Bless. Say that his ministry will prosper. Say, but he teach wrong thing. No, God. No, just bless him. Let me deal with the wrong thing part. Pray for him so that he'll be prosper financially. Okay, I pray for his children. No, I pray for his children. He, I cannot. Children. No, pray for him. Pray for me. So where do you go to? Poor in the spirit. That's what it is. You don't believe? Let's read. I'm going to go into great detail. Then we have application. Not today. Verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I tell you, I read all this. After I got a little bit depressed. Wow, very hard, man. Not just hard. I'm not even halfway there. I only had the forgive part. Forgive part, I think very hard. Forgive. Okay, I forgive. Now must bless. Wow, that manifests really. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. God said, no, go further. But I say to you, first one, love your enemy. Okay, lah, now still can. Lah. Love enemy, not too bad. Love, law. He said, no, some more. Bless those who curse you. Wow. Bless those who curse you. He said, okay. Next, do good to those who hate you. Wow. Next. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. But I'm going to seek to do it. You know why? Verse 48 says what? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Oh, God, help me. I'm so far away. I'm so poor in the spirit. Then you go to mourning. See, do these few things, okay? Because that's God. Okay, so next one. Okay, need a break. Yeah, I know someone's face is like, you know, that's okay. We give you grace. Just as God gives us, no. Why should I give you grace? You should give me grace too. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Chapter 6, verse 1 to 18. Chapter 6, verse 1 to. I'm just going to go quick. This is quite straightforward. Five kingdom, chapter 6, verse 1. That one is six hindrances that will deter us. So resist that. Okay, watch out for that toxin. Close the window of your heart to that six. Now, five kingdom activities that will enhance the growth of beatitudes. Okay, means there are five spiritual disciplines that we need to, inverted comma, cooperate with God. When we cooperate with God, we will receive grace to walk it out. Again, this is not about earning it. This is like a channel where God releases His grace for you to grow the beatitudes. Okay, five things. The first one, which is in one chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. The first one. Okay, charitable deeds. Okay, charitable deeds, you can actually break it into two parts. It means serve and give. Serving, that means giving of your time, as well as giving of money. Okay, serve and give. So that's two. Second is prayer. Verse 5 to 13. Prayer. Do you know prayer is the major key, not the only, the major key in growing the Beatitudes. Do you know why? Here Jesus taught us the Lord's Prayer. Do you know you can put the Lord's Prayer side by side with the Beatitudes? Just prayer. If you understand, I'll find time to, I mean, of course, come to this part, I'll teach about the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer primarily is to help us to grow, to become the kingdom people. You can break the Lord's Prayer into eight parts. And you can put it side by side with the eight Beatitudes. Because every part is directly help us to pray so that we will grow the other fruits of the Beatitude. What's the first statement of the Lord's Prayer? Our Father in heaven. What's the first fruit of the Beatitude? Poor in the spirit. Do you know why? Why our Father in heaven? When we encounter God, you stand before God, you know who you are. You feel poor in the spirit. That's why it's not just, you know, chincha, oh, Father. Father. So that's why I tell people, don't just anyhow use God's name. No, when you use God's name, make sure you engage His heart when you encounter. What's the next statement for the Lord's Prayer? Hallowed be thy name. In itself is what? Prayer and praise. What's the second Beatitudes? You moan. You cry out to God. What's the third part of the Lord's Prayer? May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's the third Beatitudes? Meekness. Meekness. Remember I say, a meek man has no concern of his personal right, agenda, and goal, but his sole concern, or chief concern, is the kingdom of God. What's the fourth one? Lord's Prayer. Give us each day our daily bread. What's the fourth Beatitudes? Hunger for righteousness. What's the fifth? Lord's Prayer, the fifth part. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. What's the fifth Beatitudes? Showing mercy. Showing mercy. What's the sixth? The Lord's Prayer. What's the sixth one? Deliver us from evil. You're a peacemaker, isn't it? You deliver other people from evil. What's the last one? For yours is the kingdom, power, forever and ever. If you participate in the kingdom, you will face persecution. That's why the third activity is prayer. Okay, prayer. Fourth one, blessing your adversary. That's verse 14 to 15. Blessing your adversary. The last one, fasting. Fasting. No, I'm not making it a legislation that we ought to fast, but fasting helped. Fasting is not an option. That's why Jesus said in verse 17, He didn't say if you fast. He said when you fast. No, fasting helps you to grow, to receive more. Try. Okay? No one born to fast. I always say this is what? Mouth. Soul, purpose. Eat and talk. It's grace. Okay, so next week, 7 days. Okay, no, I'm not asking you to go for 7 days. Just ask God for grace. Okay, now PSLV over, right? So fast, join together. Ken? I pray for you, pray for me lah. Ken? Okay, good. Go, shouzi. Okay, never mind. Okay, yeah. Hey, what's the one, two, fourth one? There'll yes be a yes, no be a no. No, I'm just joking. Okay, there'll be grace. Okay. Okay. Again, there are another thing in this five kingdom activities. Okay, I tell you it's very powerful because the Lord doesn't just want us to do it with grind our teeth and so on, no, but He wants us to be assured. Remember Tuesday I talked about Hebrews 11 verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because those who come before Him must know that He is and is a rewarder of those who seek Him. That means God wants us to know what? You know what He is means? He is looking. He's paying attention. He's always there. He's a rewarder. If you read carefully, okay, in verse 4, verse 6, verse 18, says what? Let's go to verse 4, chapter 6. Then you know, when you do all this thing, when you fast, no matter how chambing you are, you know, think of chicken wing. You fast secretly. God look at you in secret. And He'll reward you openly. Wow. That means internal, external, as well as eternal, He will reward you. Okay. Verse 4 says this. That your charitable deed may be in... No. Do your charitable deed may be in secret. Your Father who sees in... You may not feel anything. You know, sometimes you fast, it's like, wow, bad mood, man. You know, hey, Dick, want to faint. Or, yeah, William, a few times, want to faint, right? Or whatever. You know, yeah, God, no, does it work or not work? He say, the Father sees in secret with Himself, will reward you openly. So you can do this with assurance. No one is looking, does anything work? God want to assure you, He's looking, He's paying attention. He may not know that He's looking. You know why? He's looking in secret. Yes. Whether you serve, give, pray, bless your adversary. You know, sometimes you bless people, you get backlash first, no? Say, God, are you looking or not? And you're going to go to this verse. Be encouraged, okay? So these are five kingdom activities. Okay, just throw it in. So next week, Sunday. Anyway, now you're on leave, right? So Ken also. Okay, Ken? Yes? Yes? No, now no one there to say yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah, never mind. Okay, let's go to the next one. Matthew 6. Yeah, Joey, you cannot. Fast chocolate, lah. Fast iPhone, iPad. Okay, can? Oh, this one cannot. Say yes. Yeah. After that, you can. No. Okay. Matthew 6. Next. Matthew 6, verse 19 to 21. Turn with me to Matthew 6, verse 19. Now Jesus exhort us to live out this, to pursue this. Because you know why? This is a kingdom perspective. Exhort us to live with a kingdom perspective by pursuing the Sermon on the Mount lifestyle. You know, cultivate the fruits of the beatitude. He said this, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. Okay. Where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and see. You say, live with an eternal perspective by pursuing Sermon on the Mount lifestyle. Okay. Do you know that this old Sermon on the Mount lifestyle actually answers, you know, the philosophical questions of all ages? What are the philosophical questions? What is the purpose of life? Pursue the big eight beatitudes. How do you achieve happiness in life? Very simple. Grow the beatitudes. Jesus said, bless. Bless it. Live with the eternal perspective. Okay. Then verse 22 and 23. Okay, I said last week. Basically, it's a call for us to be wholehearted, single-minded, and focused into pursuing the Sermon on the Mount lives. I say, set your eyes where your eyes is, then where the light will come. Okay. So that's verse 22 and verse 23. Verse 24. And Jesus warned us. I'm going to give you a summarized version of the Sermon on the Mount later. Verse 24. You know what's the greatest obstacle? The issue of money. The greatest obstacle is the issue. Now Jesus is talking about, before He transit, He's talking about the greatest obstacle. That's why He's so wise. He said, don't worry. Verse 24, He said, the greatest obstacle is the issue of money. But then He gave full assurance. If you will pursue this lifestyle, don't worry. I will take care of you. I will provide. That's why we know Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says what? Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. All these things will be given to you as well. It's in the context of what? pursuing the Sermon on the Mount lifestyle. He knows. The greatest obstacle is the issue of money. And Jesus said, don't worry. Have you looked at the bird? Have you looked at the lily of the field? I take care of them. Aren't you more valuable? Seek ye first. You know, our way is always, God, give me the money first. Then I seek you. You know what God say? Seek me first. I will give you the money. Then God say, see who blink first. Guess who will lose? We will lose. No, I always say this. Do you get out of the boat first or do you walk on water first? Which one? Get out of the boat first. As I said, seek first. Don't worry. No, let me just read. Okay, we're going to come to it. Now, let me tell you this. For the last 10 years, God has more than proven this verse to be true. In my life, in this house, if you seek Him. Okay? No, this is true. Take it literal. Okay, no, oh yeah, okay, whatever. No, this is true. Verse 24. The greatest obstacle, the greatest issue is the issue of money. That's why verse 24, Jesus said this. No one can serve. No, that's why it's always extreme one. There's no neutral. Kingdom of God is not neutral. It's never neutral. That's why it's hard. That's why when we met chapter 7, narrow is the gate that leads to life. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction. It's never neutral. It's always other extreme and it's always narrow. God is only one way. That's it. You choose it, but it's more than faithful. Verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or money. You know the issue. That's why he's so wise. You know, I know, I know. You know, say, yeah, Jesus, but that's not practical. No, I know. I'm a very practical God. I will take care of all your needs. But get out of the boat first. Don't worry. If you pursue this Sermon of the Mount lifestyle with all your heart, trust me, I will take care of you. That's why he said this. Verse 25, I'm going to read through. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, about what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Do you know that there's this principle about preaching the gospel? Do you realize this principle? Most of us don't realize this. If you go to a place, you meet people who have no food, no clothes, no roof above them. Do you know you're not supposed to preach the gospel? You feed them first. That's true gospel. Then after that, you preach the gospel. You know that very, very few people are like that, especially in Singapore. Very. Most of us have clothes. We have food. We have a roof over our head. How many of y'all worry about tomorrow, no food? Please come call me or call Joel. He'll whip up a great meal. No, we don't. That's why we don't understand. No, we always say, oh God, not enough. Actually, it's not that we are not enough. We are more than enough. Just that we want more. That's how the gospel works. That's why Jesus, when he meets someone who is poor, he will minister to them first. Then he talk about the kingdom. You know why? Our God is a very practical God. There's some basic needs have to be met first. Most of us, that we are not even that basic already. We are more than don't know how many level already. If you don't have clothes, you have no food, you have no, I want to say ceiling, correct, roof above you, you'll feed them first. Then you preach the gospel. None of us in that category here. I'm not talking about us in this house. By and large in Singapore, no one falls under that category. Very few. So the issue is totally different. Then we pray about, oh God, please, provide my needs. When, you know, I say many times, search through the whole New Testament. There's no one verse that you ask God to meet your needs. No. You know why? Superseded by this. If the verse applied to meeting your needs is always someone really have nothing. Nothing. Because God said this, if you seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, I will provide. I will take care. The issue in the modern society, especially like work class in Singapore, is we want more. We want more. Say this, verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Listen, God said this. Aren't you more valuable than them? If I feed them, wouldn't I feed you? Verse 28, verse 27. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit of his stature? Verse 28. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Listen to verse 30. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? That's why he went to verse 33. Say, seek first your kingdom, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this thing will be added to you. He will take care of you. He will test this verse. There are two things God allows us to test. Money issue and seeking his face. Test this. I tell you, you will never be the same, really, in terms of understanding this. Okay, chapter 7. Chapter 7. Now chapter 7, Jesus is describing, now he's talking about relational dynamics and issue and challenges that you will face, we will face, as we seek to walk out the Sermon on the Mount lifestyle. Okay, verse 1 to 5. Verse 1 to 5. Okay, this, no, do not judge. It's not talking about judging or correcting your brother's sin. There is a place. There are many verses that call us to confront your brother's sin and so on. There's a place. Okay, this one is talking about don't be self-righteous. Don't become critical. Okay, don't be judgmental simply because someone is not pursuing at the same level of intensity as you. Don't. You know why? Then you get into the critical spirit. Critical spirit. No, the issue is you. The issue is not the other person. If you get into critical spirit, eventually the fire in your heart will die. Because you spend most of the time, how come Chen Hong doesn't do this? How come Annabelle don't? How come I fast? Not many days? They don't fast and so on. No, I'm just telling you, after that, I just fast on my own already. Anyway, fast, you can't help me, I can't help you. What? So don't be critical. No. Don't sit and hear the sermon for another person. Yeah, Annabelle should come back from Turkey. Lah. If not, I buy her the CD. I autograph too. Yeah, no. No, hear for yourself. No, this is what this is about. Okay. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 to 5. Beware of self-righteousness. Oh, 5 minutes, quick. Beware of self-righteousness. Don't be critical of others who may not pursue at the same level of intensity. Okay, again, this is different from confronting your brothers or your sisters or someone under you about their sin. Okay, so separate this. Okay, no, there is a place to judge. This is not about the judging. This is about being critical. Okay, yeah. Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. You know, that's where the pearl, you know, don't give pearl to the swine or to the dogs. This is talking about you must recognize, okay, there will be some people who will reject the message. In fact, they'll be critical of the message. Okay, so don't push it. That's why next, from verse 7 to verse 12, Jesus talked about prayer, right? You know why suddenly he talked about prayer? No, it's not just suddenly I forgot, finish. I taught you the Lord's Prayer, but I didn't finish, so now I continue. No, this is about that. He's telling you that in terms of this issue of people resisting the message, how to handle the issue. Pray. The best way to deal with it is not to argue, not to debate. That's why when I was in these places, someone wanted to debate with me whether this is right, this is wrong. I say, I'm not interested in debating with you. If you want to have a heart-to-heart talk, I will talk with you. If you want to debate, no, I'm not interested. Jesus said, pray. Pray. Okay. Spend time praying. Okay. Next, verse 13 and 14. Verse 13 and 14. That's where the narrow gate was. It won't be easy. God is very wise. He's not going to paint you a rosy picture, not like the way we preach the gospel. No. Oh, today, if you receive Jesus, when you die, you go to heaven, everything will be perfect. Then there are fine print. their pain and suffering and tribulation. The Lord said this, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult," wow, "difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." It won't be easy, but don't take the easy way out. Don't take the easy way out. Verse 15 to verse 20. Okay, I'm going to just talk a little bit more because this is vital. I've been hearing, no, better don't mention. Okay. Verse 15 to verse 20. "Beware of false messengers and beware of false message within the church." Beware of false messengers. Beware of false message within the church. The way to test whether the message or the messenger is of God, what is the way? Test the tree by its fruit. What is the context? The Beatitudes. Does the messenger teach us about the, no, not necessarily to talk about, you know, blessed are the poor and so on, lead you or teach you to become the kingdom people? Not just prosperity and whatever. No, there's a place for prosperity. But all you're talking about is prosperity. There's no concern about living out the kingdom lifestyle. Beware. So test the message. Test the messengers. The fruit. What is the fruit? Points to what? The Beatitudes. Okay, verse 15 says this. "Beware of false prophets." No, "beware of false prophet who come to you in sheep." You know why sheep's clothing? He's within you. He's within you. "Beware of..." No, there are. That's why you have to watch out. You know, sometimes it's good for you to hear some other's people. No, I'm hearing a person's message recently. I just want to find out. I just want to find out. So that I know what is happening and so on. I say, "Beware of false prophets who come to you." No, not Annabelle's teaching. Recently Cynthia teach or Belle teach. No, I'm hearing. Or Kalong teach, I'm hearing. Whether it's a sheep's clothing. Or, no. Outside. Okay. Yeah. So don't say, "Yeah, you're hearing my teaching. So am I a false prophet?" No. So don't get that wrong. Okay. But better check it out too. Okay. Yeah. No, I'm just joking. Okay. "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing." That means within you. "But inwardly, they are ravenous wolves." How do you test the message? How do you test the messenger? "You will know them by..." You know, I tell you, some of them are really eloquent. You need to know. How do you test the fruit? "You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit." See, if you hear someone preach anything, don't even be quick to react. Just watch. 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, the fruit will show. It may not show now. No. The fruit is not shown by your church grow, suddenly 10,000, 20,000, 30,000, 40,000, 50,000. No. It's easy. You preach one nice message. Many people will come, but just see down the road what will happen to the life of those people, what will happen to this church. Because fruits takes time. So don't be quick to judge. Just watch. Just watch. Okay. That's why I'm watching about certain things. I'm not going to tell you I'm watching, but I've been hearing some messages from certain people. I'm just watching. Because fruits takes time. Look at the lives of the people who hear the message. The preacher himself or herself, eventually it will show one. It will show. Okay. Next, verse 21 to 23. This is for ourselves. The test of a true believer. I tell you, this is scary. You know what's the test of a true believer? Do you manifest a certain degree or measure of the eight fruits of the Beatitude? Listen to this. I'm going to read through. Verse 21. "Not everyone who said to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." What's the will? What's the context? The Beatitudes. What's the will? Pursuing as well as to disciple. Okay. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Wow. You know, powerful, isn't it? Cast out demons in your name. Done many wonders in your name. I haven't done the last part yet. Wonders, you know, signs and wonders. Listen to verse 23. And I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Wow. Wow. Test the fruit of our life, the Beatitudes. No, don't after that go and whack yourself. No. Am I saved? Am I not saved? No, that's not the issue. The issue is that if you're a true kingdom believer, you will manifest. You will manifest, yeah, doesn't matter. A certain degree or measure of the Beatitudes. You have none. You better be concerned. If you don't have hunger for God at all, you better be concerned. That's what it is. It's a test for believer. Last one. No, we know. Build a house on the rock. Actually, it's two exhortations in these few verses. Verse 24, 29. You know what's the exhortation? Be wise. Be wise. Build your life on the sermon of the life, sermon of the Mao lifestyle. Be wise and be warned because storms will be coming. Storms will be coming. Whether it's trials of life, eschatological storms, and so on. Be warned. Be wise. Build your life on the Sermon on the Mount lifestyle. Amen? Let me just say a prayer.